I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And with us in the studio is a very special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi, guys.
So, return guest.
And dude, indeed, you're approaching friend of the show status.
Oh my gosh, is that true?
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm honored.
The free cappuccino coming to you here.
Yeah.
That's the perk?
Yeah. Yes.
That's solid.
It's a gift card. That's sweet. So Lucy, how are you this morning?
I'm very well. I'm almost caffeinated, so excellent. That's good. That's a good start.
Quickly approaching caffeination.
You'll note at the 9:20 mark, things really kick in.
We have coffee machines problems here in the office that I will rectify before I leave today.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, it's not. No. No, it is not okay.
Well,
I must get that fixed.
We will persevere. We will move beyond. So Lucy Jones, gosh, you do so many things for Lexington. So I just want to start at the very beginning and ask, where were you born?
I was born at Good Samaritan Hospital right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. Good Sam.
Yeah.
Nice. And where did you grow up? Did you grow up here in Lexington?
I did. I actually grew up on a farm a little bit outside of Midway, but I went to school in Lexington, so I consider Lexington my hometown. And then moved away in, gosh, 92-ish, and was gone for a bit, and then came back in 2009, and it was the best decision I ever made.
Nice. So you went down to Emory, right?
I did.
To go to school, and
yeah.
You studied film and English.
I did. Well, gosh, you know so much about me.
Well,
this is getting creepy.
Well, sorry. Yeah, and your social security number is 4 of... So what made you decide film studies? I guess my first question is, when did you fall in love with film?
At the Kentucky Theater, as all Lexingtonians do. When it reopened, I was 15 years old, and I started going to every single film I could see. I became voracious. I was there constantly. And at that time, they would show multiple films throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So you could see, you know, 5 different films in a week.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you go to the midnight movies?
Heck yeah.
Because that was like the
movies.
One thing you could do when you were a teenager.
Exactly.
In Lexington at night. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you were ever pulled over, you just said, I was at the midnight movie at the Kentucky and I left early.
Yep.
I was tired. Oh, so tired.
It's just the sixth
to get back home.
It's the sixth time I saw Teen Wolf. I just needed to leave.
Heavy Metal.
Oh,
And The Wall.
And Repo Man. That's where I fell in love with Harry Dean. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if we went to the same showing.
Probably.
In 92. Yeah.
Most likely.
I bet we were both at that same showing, of midnight showing of Repo Man.
That was a glorious time to be a teenager because you could leave the Kentucky Theater and then you could walk down to the Metro and you could dance because it was open after hours and it was legal, I guess. Maybe. Sure.
Oh, I remember the Metro.
They wouldn't card you.
And I was thinking about this the other day, is how much better we have it than millennials. So no phones. So
Right. Nobody's
calling you. And nobody's tracking your movement.
Can I tell you a deep, dark secret
Please. On
the air for
yes.
everybody to hear, including my mom, who I've never told this to?
Yes.
I had an imaginary friend named Carla, and her phone number was the number of the Tally-ho payphone, because it never rang. And so I would give her that number when I was going to Carla's house. Yeah.
Wow. Just
true story.
Imagine if she called it and someone at Tally-ho picked up like, hi, this is Tony.
Well, that's the thing. It didn't ring, but I always had this imaginary scenario where she would call it and somebody would happen to be picking it up to make a phone call at the same time. And then it would be very confusing.
You know, that's actually how my brother met his wife. I know this
Don't
is.
Tell me
I know
that, this is like at the Tally-ho, or did it involve a payphone?
It involved
an
Chuck E. Cheese payphone in Florence, Kentucky.
What?
Okay, so how did that happen?
I mean, we were a rambunctious crew, so we like to make prank phone calls a lot.
Oh my!
And we memorized number outside of the Chuck E. Cheese in Florence, Kentucky, just so someday we could call it. And sometimes we did, and people would answer. And sure enough, one day, his to-become future wife and mother of his children answered. And so they ended up talking on the phone for like 6 or 7 hours and then afterwards went and hung out and now they've got 3 kids.
That is literally the best meet cute story I've ever heard in my life. That's ridiculous.
So what was she doing at the Chuck E. Cheese?
She was hanging with her, I guess her nephews or maybe her siblings. Yeah, they were just hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese, playing in the ball pit.
Oh, wow. So the phone, I take it, was probably inside.
It was actually outside.
Oh, okay. So where are the kids? And what does this say about her kids now?
Good question.
Your nieces and nephews.
I don't know. I mean, that's not her responsibility. She just is there with them, you know?
So she got a ball pit for her home.
Yeah.
A ski ball thing.
I hope so. Oh, maybe fine. Not yet. But yeah, but I just thought it was pretty random. So if anybody tells you there's no value to prank phone calls, they're wrong. You know, that's not good. It's not really something we have a chance to do anymore, right?
Yeah, payphones are kind of gone.
Yeah, there's a few around.
At the Greyhound station.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's the only one I know of. It's a lost age.
Nice. So, Lucy, let's talk a little bit about Emory, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
What got you into studying film? I mean, besides loving film, was there a certain aspect of the film culture that you were particularly interested in?
I actually had I was fortunate to have a really cool teacher in high school. I went to a boarding school outside of Boston, mm-hmm. and we had a film class that was a history class that was history through film. And we watched some really interesting stuff. Now that I look back, I was like, what was he doing? That was probably like really inappropriate.
I'm thinking Birth of a Nation's probably in there at some
point. No, it wasn't actually. Oh, really? It was stuff like If and stuff like that.
Really?
It was really weird, subversive. If? Yeah, exactly.
So not American history.
No, just history.
Just history?
Yeah, and mostly countercultural history.
When If is subjective and symbolic, it has a very thin narrative, but mostly it's just like weird stuff. It's one of those movies from the 60s where kind of stuff happens for no reason and people say bizarre non sequiturs. So how does that kind of enter into history?
To be fully honest, I'm not sure exactly what the takeaway was. I think that it just had to do with like counterculture in the 60s youth movement and that sort of thing.
That makes sense.
So I got really interested in studying film that way and sort of a time capsule, sort of looking at film from a historical perspective. And so when I got to Emory, I was really interested in studying film there. And so my background is more sort of theory and history, mm-hmm. not actual production. I'm sort of more of a film fan, not a filmmaker.
Cool. Now, is it just American studies or are you more interested in international film?
I love international
film. Love it all.
I love it. I love it all. Nice. It's flickering on a screen, I'm there.
And especially local film, which, you know, let's talk a little bit about Friends of the Kentucky Theater.
Sure.
Now, I know that you're a huge fan of the Kentucky Theater and Fred Mills.
Who's God the greatest Fred human Mills. Being on the planet.
Absolutely. So can you tell people who don't know, what is Friends of the Kentucky Theater and can people join? Can people get involved?
Sure. Friends of the Kentucky is actually the nonprofit that was started by the mayor's office, maybe 5 years now. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. They were charged. Isabel Yates was our fearless leader, and we were charged with raising money to do the digital projection transfer at the Kentucky. Mm-hmm. There was a time when they showed 35mm films, and then sadly the studios stopped distributing those, and so you had to go digital or you had to close your doors, and lots of theaters across the country did, sadly. It's really sort of been the death of a lot of drive-in theaters, which is particularly heartbreaking for me. And we were fortunate in that Isabel Yates came to the rescue and raised the money and got the digital projector so that the Kentucky could keep its doors open. And now it's the nonprofit arm of the Kentucky that is sort of responsible for trying to do upgrades and improvements to keep it going. So,
cool.
Yeah, there's lots of things that the Kentucky Theater still needs, so we're continuing to raise money, and we have an event coming up tomorrow night, which is a screening of Cinema Paradiso, which is going to be great. Mm-hmm. There's going to be free pizza and wine and an accordion quartet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You had me at accordion quartet,
yep.
Lucy.
Yep. So
what is that event all about? What's it called?
It's actually the anniversary, and this kind of blows my mind, mm-hmm. of the reopening of the theater. It's been 25 years. Mm-hmm. So it's the gala for that.
After the fire originally
After
burned
the fire,
it down.
Yeah.
Did they ever find out what caused that fire?
Yeah, it was somebody who got fired from a restaurant nearby.
Wow.
And he came back and decided, now this may be anecdotal. This is what I remember.
Yeah, I was like, is this a...
I don't know how... allegedly. Allegedly, someone was fired from a nearby restaurant and he got really ticked off, so he came back and just kind of tore it. He was just trying to start a small fire in the restaurant and then whoosh.
We took it all over.
Next thing you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Collateral damage.
Yeah, collateral damage.
And then that was in, what, 87, maybe?
Sounds
88?
About right.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember going in like 87 to see RoboCop Kentucky. So it must have been 88.
Your mama was a snowblower.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, with the Kentucky Theater, what is the film that's showing tonight? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Tomorrow night is Cinema Paradiso, I haven't seen in years. I mean, I don't think I saw it since it came out, but it's sort of one of those lovely, those beautiful love letters to cinema. So it's a feel good.
Yeah, it's a boy and a projectionist, and he lets him up into the booth, and they sort of bond, old man, young boy. And what country was that from?
It's Italian.
Italian.
And so there's going to be a whole Italian theme tonight, or tomorrow night. You know, you've got me saying that it's tonight. It's tomorrow night, guys. Go tomorrow night, Wednesday, just, 6 o'clock.
Just so excited about it. So Lucy, you so after you graduated from Emory, you spent some time in LA, right?
I did.
So did you work in the film industry out there?
I started to, and I realized pretty rapidly that I hated it and wanted to have absolutely nothing to do with it. I started working for a production company, and I realized really quickly that I'm not interested in production. It is a dream killer for me. Mm. I just want to watch the movies on the screen. I don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Totally.
So,
I can understand that. So what, can I ask you what you were doing out there? Like, who you were working for?
I got an internship at Light Motive, which was Roland Joffe's production mm-hmm. company. And that was pretty illuminating for me personally, because Roland Joffe, if you're familiar with his films, made some really beautiful, really powerful films in the 70s and early 80s. He did The Mission and he did The Killing Fields. Mm-hmm. And then he decided that wasn't making enough money. So he became a producer, producing things like the Super Mario Brothers movie. And show on MTV. I can't remember what it was called, but it was definitely illuminating in terms of learning how that the best intentions can get warped by the involvement of money.
Wow. You know, I love that you brought up the Super Mario Brothers movie. I don't know if you knew Colin Doherty.
I do.
Yeah, he was actually in the movie.
Wait, what?
He's the lead singer of the band in the club in the
Are
Super Mario
you
Brothers movie.
Kidding
I'm
me
not
right
kidding
now?
You.
I just saw Colin yesterday. Why does he not lead every conversation with that fun
it's
fact?
It's a good question. Well, now you got something to talk about with him.
How have I known him for this long and never?
Well, it's not a fact that I know he wants to, you know, bring up. Right
oh, it's
away.
Coming up every conversation from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in like an anecdotal, I hung out with Dennis Hopper story,
sure.
But probably not in like, I starred in the Super Mario.
Wow. Well, guess he's rewatching that film this afternoon. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So can I ask you, I know that you travel back and forth between Kentucky and LA a lot. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of your favorite spots to stop on that transcontinental drive?
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks to you, I have a new favorite stop,
yes.
And that's the Manby Hot Springs in Taos. For the listening audience, I had never been to Taos before, and Chuck Clinney was like, oh, you got to go to Manby Hot Springs. So I put it on my list and then kind of honestly forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And then was reading the Dennis Hopper bio uh-huh. and realized, oh wait, that's where they filmed the scene in Easy Rider,
which is crazy. And I've been there, and I guess I didn't never put two and two together.
Rewatch it and then go back.
Which part?
After they leave the commune and they go skinny dipping with the two young ladies from the commune before they set out on the rest of their adventure.
It's pre-Nicholson.
Yeah,
it's a nice little spot.
Yeah, so we actually wound up turning the trip into a like Dennis Hopper tribute tour, kind of by accident at first, because we were like in Taos, and that's where his grave was, and then we went to Manby Hot Springs, and then I realized that actually the town where he was born, Dodge City, is on the way back to Kentucky, so we stopped there and found his childhood home, which may or may not have been his childhood home. Mm-hmm. So I like to like take a road trip and then squeeze in a cinema theme that makes no sense.
That's great. Well, what's up next? Do you have any other ideas for your next trip?
No. Do you have suggestions? Since you kind of were our spiritual guide last time without knowing it?
I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Okay. We'll work on this. We'll workshop.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So are there any other spots that you like to kind of stop along the way?
I mean, I like to do the Route 66 route, so you get all the fun Route 66 stops. I love mid-century modern, so when I go the southern route, I go through Arizona and through all those Scottsdale, Phoenix areas. Great for that stuff.
So I know that you mentioned mid-century modern. I know that you have recently started the Mid-Century Modern Society in Lexington. So can you explain to people what is mid-century? That's interesting. I know, well, that's complicated.
It is. It's a design aesthetic that's actually weirdly hard to explain. Mm-hmm. Like, sadly, now the sort of catchphrase, if you just say Mad Men, then like whatever that evokes in people's brains, that's mid-century modern.
Got it.
Yeah.
So okay, mid-century modern is John Hamm drinking a lot of whiskey.
Yeah, drinking a martini on a really low-slung, beautiful couch.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Nice.
But the reason why I started the society was because there's sort of been a war on mid-century modern architecture and Lexington recently, with the buildings that we have left have been pretty much systematically demolished. Mm. So in the hopes of saving the few we have left, we're just trying to raise awareness for how important they are in terms of maintaining that design aesthetic in Lexington.
For sure. And where are some spots in Kentucky or in Lexington that people can go see some mid-modern
buildings? Sadly, it's got the windows are removed at the moment for its moving, hopefully ultimate move, but the People's Bank building on Broadway is definitely my favorite example.
Near Rupp Arena.
Yeah. And there's actually my other favorite is actually there's a rest stop in between Lexington and like just outside of Winchester on I-64 East. That's a great building. I had my birthday. You were at my birthday party there.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that
60s
spot.
Potluck there.
Yeah, you know, I'd stopped by there so many times but never thought this would be a great place for a party.
For a guerrilla picnic.
Yeah, it was. And it worked out great. So truly a rest stop. I rested in many ways. So when you were out in LA, Lucy, did you see any cool shows, any cool concerts?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, what were some memorable ones?
Well, I got to see Harry Dean several times, which was really fun at the Mint. So I think that was always a highlight for me, back before I knew that there'd be a festival, back before I knew that he'd be in my life and that we'd be friends. It's also very bizarre. But yeah, so I saw him a number of times. I'm trying to think like the best shows. My favorite shows were always at the Hollywood Bowl. Mm. I saw Air and Stereolab there. That was the best thing I ever saw with the Philharmonic.
What?
I know, it was nuts.
Was that the Moon Safari or was that earlier?
I can't remember what year that would have been.
Yeah.
But gosh, I'm trying to think of like little shows that I saw in tiny little rock clubs that were fun. I guess MIA at the Knitting Factory when it was like 50 people.
Wow. Back when Diplo was still producing their stuff. Nice. Well, that's pretty exciting. So when did you make the trip back to Kentucky?
I came back, I guess, Christmas of 2008 and met a fella, and we did the long distance thing for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then in July of 2009, I have an online vintage clothing business, so I work from home. And I was like, you know what? I could really do that in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll go back for a month, and a month became 2 months and three months. And then I got involved with the Lexington Film League, and then I made friends. And then I was like, why would I ever leave this place?
That's what happens.
Yeah, slowly but surely, finally I got my stuff out of my place in LA, probably 2011, and made it official.
Sweet. It's like a geographical magnetism.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
Yeah, we all come back.
Yeah, it's true. We all leave and come back.
Yeah. I heard the phrase boomerang plus one recently, too. I wasn't aware of that phrase, where you come back and you bring your significant other, and then they become part of the...
Now, that's not a reference to the movie Boomerang, is
it? No, not of which I'm aware.
Yeah, not yet.
I haven't actually seen that movie.
Really?
No.
I think you'd enjoy
that
it.
That classic film.
It is, yeah. It's pretty funny. But anyway, I digress. Can you tell me a little bit about the Lexington Film League and kind of what the Film League does here?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Film League was begun in 2009 by Kylie Lane, and she has since moved to Louisville and gotten involved with the Film Society there. Sarah Wiley and Kylie were the members when I joined in, and Sarah Wiley is still very involved. She's my co-director, and then we have a number of board members. We're expanding the board. Our interest is really to sort of create a film culture in Lexington. So we try to create opportunities for filmmakers, you know, showing their work and sometimes providing cash incentives, prizes, that sort of thing. And we also have ongoing screenings. So we do a Film Slang series, which is a monthly series at the Farish Theater every third Thursday of the month, where we show films by Kentucky filmmakers. And we're actually really excited because this coming Thursday, Bianca Spriggs is letting us show some of her films. So there's going to be a Film Slang spotlight on Bianca, which is going to be great. And then we've also shown sort of older repertory films. We showed Steel. We showed Asphalt Jungle films ones that were made in Kentucky. And then there's also an ongoing series at 21C that Brian Fry curates that's really fascinating stuff. He's a filmmaker and he knows everybody. So he's been able to bring in a lot of filmmakers that, you know, normally wouldn't be, Lexington, Kentucky would not be in their path necessarily. So
yeah, well, that's very exciting.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
So just in case anyone's just joining us, you're tuned into Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU, and we're sitting in here with Lucy Jones, film aficionado, multiple community builder, amazing Kentuckian.
Aficionado? Sorry, I've never been called that before.
I'm just making up your bio.
Usually I'm just film weirdo.
Yeah, film weirdo. Yeah.
And Chuck, film nerd. You want to see if anybody wants to call in?
Absolutely. You can give us a call. The number is 859-721-5690. That's 721-5690. Give us a call. Yeah. You can ask Lucy a question or make a request. So this month we have this fundraiser going on. I'd have your say in May, where we're inviting people to make a donation, but also make a request by making a donation. So you can visit gofundme.com/LCRMay. That's M-A-Y, not M-E-I-G-H-T. But you can go there and check that out. But
I told people on my Facebook page that if they call in and pledge $20, I'll answer whatever embarrassing question they have.
Uh-oh.
Totally, honestly.
Oh, and Chuck and I will answer a question, too, if you're ever curious about us.
Yeah, if you got any embarrassing questions for
sure.
us.
Sure.
We're very candid.
Yeah.
I've already revealed my deepest, darkest teenage secret.
That is
so
true.
We're off to a good start.
Now no one's going to call Lucy.
Except for my mom. She'd be ringing off the hook.
Exactly. Yeah. Lucy, why didn't you tell me that?
It's okay. I've spent like every day of my life since being a teenager, like apologizing for being a teenager. So
that's hilarious.
She knows we're good now.
So Lucy, can I ask you, kind of, what do you think is the state of film in Kentucky right now?
Oh my gosh. It's a really, really exciting time. In terms of filmmakers, we have the most competitive tax incentives in the nation right now. And actually, I went to a reception last night. Visit Lex brought in a number of location scouts who are going around central Kentucky yesterday and today looking at everything. They were going everywhere. They went to Highbridge yesterday and Asbury. There's one scout. Well, they're looking for various things. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm not probably at liberty to talk about that.
Sure, yeah.
But it looks like a lot of productions coming to central Kentucky, which cool. is really exciting.
That is very exciting.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, within the state, I know the Speed Museum you were talking about there.
Oh, my gosh.
Can we talk a little bit
yes.
about that?
Yes, because what an incredible resource that is. Mm-hmm. They brought in Dean Otto, who had been at the Walker. Wait, is that the museum in Minneapolis?
I'm not sure.
I'm probably just making things up right now. I think it's called the Walker. I apologize. I've been there. It's a beautiful place. But they managed to, like, poach him and bring him down here. Mm-hmm. And he is a genius. And he is doing such an incredible job at programming the Speed. I've seen so much stuff there. They have a 35 millimeter capability, which we sadly don't have in Lexington anymore. Mm-hmm. They can also show 8 millimeter, 16 millimeter. They have a lot of visiting filmmakers. It's just an incredible resource, and free films on, I'm not sure if it's every Sunday, but there's an Owsley film series that's really interesting and well done.
That's cool. So people can just go to the Speed Art Museum.
Yeah, I definitely recommend going and checking out their calendar. That's every time a calendar comes out, I like pull out my calendar and like cross-reference and mm-hmm. yeah, put everything in stone.
Let's make a trip to Louisville.
Yeah, cinema road trips, those are the best, man.
Nice. Have you ever been down to Apple Shop?
You know, I have not visited Apple Shop, and I'm so embarrassed about that. I need to go do that. I'm a tremendous fan of their films, obviously.
Yeah, I think I just wanted to, you know, throw them in the mix too as far as Kentucky film.
Oh yeah, they've been doing it longer than anybody.
Yeah, they're such a huge part, and I guess they initially got started from a grant to make films in rural areas. Right.
Yeah, they've made some incredible films. And Brian Fry, I was sad I wasn't in town for this, but he actually did an Apple Shop screening at 21C rather recently, and I think hopefully there'll be more.
Excellent. So, Lucy, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Harry Dean Stanton Fest,
sure.
since that's your baby.
It is
and
my
you
baby.
Got it started, and it's grown into such a phenomenal phenomenon. Wow. So can you tell me, how did you get that started? What made you want to give props to Harry Dean with his own festival?
I have always loved Harry Dean. Mm-hmm. I, like I said, I was introduced to him. I mean, not really, because we're all indoctrinated very young, even mm-hmm. though we don't maybe realize that. I'd yeah. obviously seen him in Pretty in Pink and stuff like that mm-hmm. when I was a kid. But the first time that he really sort of like leapt out of the screen at me and into my consciousness was a screening of Repo Man at the Kentucky Theater. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking out of the theater and just being shaken. And I was like, who is that guy? That is the coolest guy. Who is he? Why have I never noticed noticed him before. And somebody said, oh, I think that's Mary's godfather, my friend Mary Lake. It turns out it was actually her cousin. They were wrong. But there was a relationship. And that was so cool to me. I was like, wait, that guy's from Kentucky? And they're like, yeah, I think he lived in Lexington for a while. And that just blew my mind. So I always kind of carried that with me when I would go to other cities. You know, sometimes, I don't think it's so much anymore, but back in the day, I think that Kentucky, there's sort of maybe a poor perception of Kentucky in more cosmopolitan areas. We were maybe looked down upon a bit. And I would say, well, I'm sorry, but do you know that Harry Dean Stanton's from there? Do you know that, like, and I would give the list of all the people that were from Kentucky. And it did usually kind of blow people's minds because there are, I mean, there's an incredible amount of talent that's emerged from Kentucky that people maybe aren't aware of. And when I was a kid, I was obsessed with James Dean, and I used to go to the James Dean Festival in Fairmont, Indiana. So when I came back to Kentucky and got involved in the Lexington Film League, Kylie and Sarah Wiley asked if there was anything that I wanted to do. And I don't know how or why, but it just like went out of my mouth, like, we should do a Harry Dean Festival because Harry Dean has all these movies and we could show them. And people don't know he's from here and we could get them excited about it. And people need to be excited about Harry Dean because I think people don't really know his name. They just know him, his photo. So
they know his face.
They know his face. Yeah, I always say that Harry Dean's like a cinematic Rorschach test. Like when you show somebody a photo of Harry Dean, like whatever they say first, like tells you everything you need to know about them as a film goer. Like,
what if I say Pretty in Pink? What does that say about
that me? That means that you're a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I was obsessed with Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, or that.
So the fest got started. What was the first year? What films did you decide to show right off the bat?
Right off the bat. Well, the first thing that we had to figure out, I wanted to have a guest that we could bring in so that there'd be something, you know, sort of special, not just showing films, but somebody who could come in and talk about working with Harry Dean. And we had no money. We had no budget. We had no connections. We had really nothing. So I was trying to figure out what to do. And well, there was actually two weird parts to that. The first part was I figured I would reach out to Harry Dean to make sure that it was okay and that we were allowed to do this. And I was like, well, how do you even do that? And my boyfriend at the time said, oh, well, why don't you contact Tom Thurman, who's a filmmaker, amazing filmmaker, documentary filmmaker in Lexington. You know, he knows everybody. He probably knows Harry Dean. And so I was like, okay. So I cold call poor Tom Thurman completely out of the blue. And I said, hi, I'm so sorry. My name's Lucy. I think... if somebody told me that you might know Harry Dean or know how to get in touch with him, he's like, do I know Harry Dean? I was like, yeah. He's like, do I know Harry Dean? I was like, yeah. He's like, I've been working on a documentary about Harry Dean for 20 years and we're about to premiere it on KET. Wow. And I was like, wait, about when? And he said, you know, it's like 3 months from then. I was like, oh my gosh, can we partner with you? Can we show this? Can this be? And so that was the first screening of Harry Dean Stanton Fest was his documentary Crossing Mulholland. And it was just the weirdest timing ever that happened to come together.
Serendipitous.
Yeah. And so then I wanted to find a guest who'd worked with Harry. And so I started thinking, okay, well, we don't have any money. We don't really know anybody. Who could we get that would just come here for a plane ticket and the chance to hang out in Kentucky for a few days? And I thought, well, I wonder what the kid from Paris, Texas is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a giant star anymore. Like maybe he's just out there in the world and he'd think it was a fun thing to do. So I was like, okay, well, how do you find people? I guess I'll go on Facebook and I'll see if he's on Facebook. So I enter in Hunter Carson and like a bunch of Hunter Carsons pop up. And the one at the very top said I had two mutual friends and it was like a picture of a dog. So I couldn't see the face. And I was like, what? How weird would it be if I hit on this Hunter Carson and that's the Hunter Carson that I'm looking for? And I click on it, and sure enough, it was Hunter Carson from Paris, Texas. And as it turned out, my boarding school roommate was married to his college roommate. And so I called Divya and I was like, hey, Div, do you think Hunter would be down for this? She'd be like, oh my God, he's so cool. Yeah, he'd so be into it. Like, give him a call. And so he came and he was great. And he runs the Dallas Film Festival. And so he actually gave us great pointers and kind of like took us under his wing and told us about how to start a festival.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So not only was he our guest, but he was also kind of our godfather.
Yeah. Got the party started.
Exactly.
That's great. And so a few years back too, Harry Dean himself came.
He did.
Can you tell us kind of the story about how you got in touch with him and how you convinced him to get on a plane and
well, come here? I did not convince him at all. I can take zero credit for that. Michelle Phillips did all the convincing. he was very sweet. The second year of the festival, he invited me out to Los Angeles and we did an interview out there and I got to hang out with him and spend some time with him. And at that time, I realized, you know, he's a little older and he doesn't like traveling. I was like, okay, well, I'm never going to invite him again. I'm never going to make him come. Like, this is just a thing that will honor him from afar. And I guess the fourth or fifth festival, Michelle Phillips was our guest. And I guess she called him and I you can bleep me. I know we have a second.
No, we can't bleep you.
She said, Harry, you're being a beep, beep, beep. Get your beep on a plane and come with me. And he was like, Michelle, all right. And so he came.
And you were showing Dillinger, right?
We were showing Dillinger, which would not have been the choice. Had we known that Harry Dean was coming for the Harry Dean Stanfest, Dillinger would not have been the film that we would have had him do the Q&A for. Not that it's not a great movie. It's just, you know, a little obscure in terms of his great oeuvre. But yeah, that's the film that we showed.
Nice. So were there any funny stories or anything about Harry Dean coming into town? And
If you were there and you got to see the Q&A, people to this day come up and tell me it was the best Q&A ever because it was the worst Q&A ever.
Yeah, it was a...
Harry,
I would agree with
Harry
that.
Harry is cantankerous and delightful. I mean, he's such a good-hearted person. He is also a person who will take no... like, does not suffer fools gladly. So Harry he'll put the lockdown.
Yeah, I remember there was some guy that stood up and was like, hey, I think you know my cousin Tom. You all used to work at a pharmacy a long time ago. You went to grade school together. Yeah, and Harry Dean's just like, nah, I don't remember him, bro.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, I'll tell him you said hi.
It was amazing. And after that, I've kind of had a thought. It's like, do we screen questions beforehand? It's like, no, we don't. We just let it be whatever it is.
Yeah, keep it open. Keep it raw. So when you're hanging out with Harry Dean, what is that like? Like, what does he do for fun?
He drinks. He drinks. He goes to Dan Tana's and he nurses, at this point, nurses a tequila for a while.
Yeah. Does he just like to talk about his life?
He's really interesting. You know, his memory's not as great as it was at one time. You know, he's a little older now. But he's very personable. He's very sweet. He definitely loves to talk about movies. He's a doll.
Yeah. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Well, so this year's fest is also very exciting. Let's talk a little bit about Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, well, this is crazy to me. It's still hard for me to say out loud. Kris Kristofferson is going to be joining us a week from today, May 23rd, at the Kentucky Theater. He's going to do an introduction to Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. We're actually going to be pushing the festival itself until the fall because we want to be able to have it coincide with the opening of Harry's new film called Lucky. So we're hoping to premiere that here with the festival. So Chris is coming in next week just for a standalone event, which is going to be a fundraiser for the festival.
Nice. And that's exciting. And how did that come about?
Robbie Henson, who's one of my very dear friends, directed a film called Pharaoh's Army in the 90s. If you have not seen Pharaoh's Army, I very much suggest you go out and find it. I think it's available on Amazon. It is a beautiful movie that he filmed in Danville that stars a pre-famous Chris Cooper and a pre-famous Patricia Clarkston and a very famous Kris Kristofferson. And it's just a beautiful movie about the Civil War and its effects in Kentucky. And so he stayed in touch with Chris and his daughter and wife throughout the years, and Robbie reached out to Lisa, his wife, on our behalf a few years ago, and we've been trying to get him here, and as it turns out he's on tour right now.
Nice.
And we were thinking that we weren't going to be able to squeeze it in, so that's why we'd actually pushed the festival. We were like, oh well, it's not going to work out with Chris this year, we'll push the festival to the fall so we can screen Lucky. And then a few weeks ago I got an email from Lisa that was like, oh, actually, we could squeeze it in on the end of the tour. Let's do it. I was like, oh, that's amazing. But now we have 3 weeks to promote this thing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, all the good things happen that way.
They do. You
know, on the fly.
Yeah. And it's the magic of Harry Dean. Everything just comes together the way that it's supposed to come together.
Just a stream rushing.
Yeah.
So let's hear a track. Let's take a little break and maybe hear a track from Kris Kristofferson. Can you set up this song for us?
Sure. This is The Pilgrim. If you're familiar with film history, this one's popped up in a few different movies. But this one is actually the one, there's a line from it, partly truth and partly fiction, which Sophie Huber took that line and put it in her documentary about Harry Dean, which is called Partly Fiction, which is a beautiful film. We had the privilege of premiering that a couple years ago. So that's the song.
Excellent.
This is Chris.
Cool. Well, we'll be back here in a little bit. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM, Lexington Community Radio.
This song I started out writing about Dennis Hopper. Ended up writing about Johnny Cash. Chris Gantry, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Bobby North, Freddie Neal, David Blue, Eric Anderson, Paul Siebel, a lot of others I can't think of now because I can't hear myself. See him wasted on the sidewalk in his jacket and his jeans, wearing yesterday's misfortunes like a smile. Once he had a future full of money, love, and dreams, which he spent like they was going out of style.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio, coming to you from the north side. We're here in the studio with Lucy Jones. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Chuck.
Thanks for coming in this morning and chatting with us.
Thanks for having me. This is delightful.
Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah.
And so not a lot of people know this song is actually from Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. Wasn't it written for
the
soundtrack?
Yeah.
And Bob Dylan is in the movie.
He sure is.
Now, I watched it recently, but I mentioned off mic, it was during a binge, so I don't remember it as well as I should. But this is kind of a set piece in the middle of the movie. There's been violence, there's been death, and somebody's watching a sunset.
Yeah.
And somebody else is dying, and this
it's beautifully
song's
playing.
Yeah. Now, which version of the movie are you showing? Because there are like three different versions. It's kind of like Once Upon a Time in America in that way, or Brazil. There are like four different versions of this movie. So are you showing the longer one or the original release, or what are you doing?
Is there one in between? I'm trying to remember what the one is. It's the one you want to see. That's all.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not the director's cut.
Well, so what happens sometimes. Oh yeah. It was also with Close Encounters. I was watching. There are three versions of that. So there's a version of the movie that's released. Nobody's happy with it. And then 10, 15, 20 years later, the director will make a director's cut of it, but it's got everything in there, including stuff that really should have been cut out to begin with.
Totally self-indulgent.
Or edited for time or something like that. And then 10, 15, 20 years after that, there's a third version, which is sort of a compromise between those two versions. So yeah, maybe that's the one. That's the one you got.
We definitely did a lot of research and spoke to Larry, who's the booker for the Kentucky Theater, and this is the one you want to see.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's the version Larry says,
it's Larry
is cool.
Approved. Yeah.
Okay, very good. And it's a Sam Peckinpah movie.
Yes.
Yeah, he was one of the first filmmakers where people would say, "Oh, this guy directed this movie. Okay, it's going to have a very specific kind of feel to it. It's going to have a very specific tone. It's going to have these kind of techniques utilized in it." And that really wasn't a thing until the 60s.
Right, a true American auteur.
Right, and so he comes in the late 60s and makes The Wild Bunch. And sort of, what did you say, cross-cutting between slow motion and regular motion. So you would see, oh, some guy jumping off a train in slow motion, and then they'd cut to machine gun fire and people falling all over the place. And then they cut back to the same guy still falling off the train in slow motion. And you just kind of wonder, when are these two events occur? Are they simultaneously? Is time slowed down for this one person? Or do they both just end? I always took it that the sequences always ended at the same point, though they didn't really begin at the same point. And what else did he do? He did The Getaway.
He did another Chris Christopherson movie that Chris is in only briefly, which is Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, which is one of my favorite films ever.
Yeah, I forgot he was in that. Yeah, one of the most poorly reviewed films of the
early 70s.
And now you kind of look at it, and it's interesting because you can understand why people hated it. and at the same time go, okay, this is also a great movie. That's pretty much Warren Oates from beginning to end. He's almost in every scene in that movie, maybe just not the beginning.
Yes. And he's incredible. And that's somebody else, another Kentuckian, by the way, and somebody else who worked with Harry Dean for multiple films, including Dillinger.
And if you don't know, I guess Stripes is maybe the touchstone for Warren Oates, if you want to get people into
him. It is. I think he's best known that way.
The drill sergeant that gives Bill Murray and Harold Ramis a very hard time.
Yeah. And another movie filmed in Kentucky.
Oh, that's right. They did some of it in Louisville, some of it in the city.
Yeah.
I didn't know Stripes was filmed here. That's great.
Yeah,
some of it was. I know most of the beginning was filmed in Louisville. And so Sam Peckinpah made Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid, The Wild Bunch, The Getaway, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And there is a really good book on him if you're interested. It's called If They Move, Kill 'Em. And it's by David Weddle, and that's a line from The Wild Bunch, which I highly recommend.
Yeah.
It was the major source for a paper I wrote on Sam Peckinpah in mid-90s. It was a long time ago.
Can we access that paper? Could somebody make a pledge and buy that paper?
Yeah. Do I have it? You know, because it was so long ago, that was like four computers ago, I think I wrote that on a Commodore 64, to
Beautiful.
Let you know.
Classic.
So if I thought to transcribe it or transcript it or whatever over to PC when I got that in 96, it may be gone.
There's a
I can't promise.
Sure.
I can promise. Donate money first, and then I will go look and see if I have it.
There's a dot matrix copy sitting around somewhere in a musty basement.
Daisy wheel printer, the loudest printers ever.
Oh, absolutely.
That printed a third of a line at a time.
So if you want to buy Ben's paper, you can give us a call.
Buyer caveat emptor.
It's true. As part of our Have Your Say in May fundraiser that we have going on, you can call. And if you would like, if you have a question for Lucy Jones or a question about film, give us a call. The number is 859-721-5690. Or if you want to give to the station, you can go to gofundme.com/LCRMay and check that out, too.
So if I want to start a Warren Oates Festival, what do I need to do?
Yeah, well, I'm actually, my friend Wesley Johnson is telling me he's going to do that. We're trying to get one. I've been saying all along that Louisville needs to have like a companion piece festival. I think that he's is it called Depot? Is that, I think that's the town that Warren Oates grew up in, but it might be a little small,
right? Yeah.
I'm not sure.
To have a fest to support a festival, we'll see. I think they still have like the classic theater that he used to go to, is what Wesley's saying.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So of all the people, couldn't we do Ned Beatty?
We should absolutely do
Ned Beatty.
Beatty
might
festival.
Be a neat film
For sure.
festival. I know he went to Transy.
Oh, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, there really needs to be a Jim Varney Film Festival.
Yeah.
People have been talking about that for a while too.
But what would you show?
Oh, I'd show all of them. Ernest Goes
All the Ernest movies?
Yeah,
first year.
Every year.
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, you know, it's interesting. Millennials do not know who Jim Varney was.
That breaks my heart.
So we got where do you begin? He played a sort of dim-witted redneck type character in 7-Eleven commercials.
Named
or
Ernest.
Milk commercials
named,
or car commercials.
Named Ernest.
Let's
educate folks. Ernest,
so that's
B-World.
Why we call him Ernest Jim Varney. And so then somebody said, let's turn those commercials into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, there was a caveman TV show based on the Geico commercials. So it's not like the stupidity is exclusive to my generation.
Did you see that show, by the way?
What I could watch of it.
I actually thought it was a really solid show.
Well, I gotta disagree.
Well, let's digress here. Let's talk a little bit about the Twin Peaks reboot.
Yeah,
since we're talking about Harry Dean and we're talking about
Sunday evening.
Do you think maybe in the future we'll get some folks from Twin Peaks to come out to the Harry Dean?
I would love that. I've been trying so hard to get in touch with Russ Tamblyn
because
Tamblyn was in a few different projects with Harry Dean, and I think they kind of go back and did a bunch of stuff with Dean Stockwell,
and they
all kind of ran as like a really crazy crew. So I feel like he would have the best stories. So if anybody out there knows Russ Tamblyn or knows how to get in touch with Russ Tamblyn, we're looking for him.
Give us a call.
And one of my favorite stories is about Jack Nicholson and Bob Rafelson and all four members of the Monkees writing the movie Head in Harry Dean Stanton's basement in Los Angeles. In
I didn't know there was a Harry Dean connection to that.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, they were all friends. Yeah, sure. He was friends with all those guys.
Well, and
yeah.
Mike Nesmith went on to produce Repo Man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
I love Mike Nesmith. He's the best. Actually, when Mike Nesmith shows up as Kyle MacLachlan's father on Portlandia, that was one of my favorite things of all time.
I didn't know that happened.
Oh, that was great. So adorable. I was like, did I write this in my and forget about it in some Tyler Durden fashion? It was just a dream. It's like, yeah. So, Warren Oates, Ned Beatty, who else? We could claim Gus Van Sant, can't we?
Yeah, we sure can.
Well, and he's made a bunch of excellent movies. So
absolutely.
We can throw a Kentucky Film
Festival
for
him. I'm going to throw Lee Majors in the mix, too.
Sure.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Lee Majors' catalog is thick.
Yeah, and we can even, reruns of The Big Valley or in $6 Million Man.
Friend of the show.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a great interview. Well done, by the
way. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, he's not a friend of the show yet. I guess that's the second interview.
We're a friend of his. We're sycophants of his. So yeah, there you go.
Definitely. Well, Lucy Jones, I regrettably have to wrap this up. But it's been such a pleasure. It's been awesome as always.
It has been my pleasure. I love you guys.
I know, we love you too, Lucy. And anytime, come on in.
Thank you.
You should do a show about film.
I would love that.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, let's start up a Lexington film show.
Yeah,
we don't have
let's
to do it.
It
every week, but yeah.
All right, done.
I don't know, Chuck. Are there any podcasts out there that are about movies?
Oh, there's a few. I think Doug Benson does one. That's it. There's only one.
Oh, just Doug
just
loves
Doug's
movies.
Yeah.
You went to that show recently.
I did, yeah.
It was
amazing.
Yeah,
it was very,
quite
very
make it over
funny.
To the old Doug Benson.
Yeah, it was very funny. But nonetheless, Lucy Jones, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, and Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid at the Kentucky Theater.
May 23rd.
May 23rd, which is
Tuesday.
Tuesday, May 23rd. One week from today at 7 p.m. Tickets are available, which I do suggest you get in advance online, harrydeanstantonfest.org, as well as the Kentucky Theater box office.
And the Cinema Paradiso, that's tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night.
With accordions and wine.
Yes. The wine and pizza starts at 6. The movie starts at 7.
And if people want to know more about the Harry Dean Stanton Fest, where can they go?
HarryDeanStantonFest.org or LexingtonFilmLeague.org.